If you could try to come back this evening, we have an open topic lesson, and I only have one question that's prepared, and the question is going to be, and if you have more, you could ask them if we have time. The question basically boils down to, if the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, are all one, then do we pray to all of them? What does the Scriptures say about that? So that's where we'll start. I want to welcome everyone here this morning, as well as those who join us live with the internet. We have a lot of different people joining us from around the country. And in particular, due to HEPA laws, okay, you can't name anybody for Golden Living. So you who are called Miss X, we welcome you too. Try to legislate that. And I hope there's not Malcolm X's wife there and we get in trouble or something. But in preparation for the sermon this week, I had one lesson pretty much written. And when I went to go into the paper to type it out, I ended up rewriting everything, just making a brand new sermon. Because a certain current event occurred in the news that forced me to come up with another theme. And so this morning's lesson is titled, The Story of Four Mothers and Its Biblical Implications. So I'm going to cover four mothers that an event connected them together. And from that, I want to pull four applications that we can use for our own lives right from the Bible. Mother number one, Luana Miller, was a beautiful, clear 78-degree day in Cleveland, Ohio on May 2nd, 2006. People were playing in the parks with their children. They were riding with their car windows down, everyone trying to enjoy the nice weather. Not every Cleveland resident was having a great day. For 43-year-old Luana Miller, she was dying of heart failure in the Lakewood Hospital. The young mother of two was leaving this life at an early age because her heart had been broken. Something horrific altered her life in a way that no mother should ever have to go through. You see, 3 years prior, on April 21st, 2003, she was shopping in the stores for her daughter Amanda's birthday. Her 17th birthday. She was planning on presenting her with gifts the next morning on that day of her birthday with those presents already wrapped. But Amanda never came home from her part-time job that night. Luana waited and waited. But Amanda did not show up. She was worried when she didn't come home, so she phoned the police and a citywide search was begun. And yet, she was never found. Hours turned into days, days into months, months into years. Luana tried everything she could to find out what happened to her baby Amanda, but to no avail. She went on television shows, worked with local police, hung posters of her missing daughter and followed up with every lead she could. And yet she still never found her. Was she dead? Did she run away? Was she actually kidnapped? She cried herself to sleep every night, calling out for God to find her daughter. Nothing could console her. Her heart was utterly broken. So in a sterile hospital room 3 years later, after Amanda went missing, the anguish had taken the greatest toll on her health. The stress overwhelmed her in every way. A mother's heart was broken. Mother's heart had failed due to the stress of losing a daughter to unknown factors. And though it was a beautiful day outside her window, and life just seemed to move on, she took her last breath and went to her grave in enormous grief. She was a mother that died of a broken heart, both literally and figuratively. It's mother one. Mother number two, Amanda Berry. She was a young 16-year-old girl. She was just leaving her job at Burger King, just like thousands of other teenagers did that evening. Except that night, she did not make the 10-minute walk home because she caught a ride. She was kidnapped and taken to a house at 2207 Seymour Avenue in Cleveland, home of a demented pervert. He locked her up along with two other kidnapped victims, Gina DeJesus and Michelle Knight. And for the next decade, three young women would be held as prisoners in the basement, repeatedly abused sexually, emotionally, and physically. 4 years into Amanda's living hell, she conceived a child with her perpetrator. She carried that baby for 9 months and gave birth to a daughter on Christmas Day. Though she was still in prison, she determined to do the best that she could with what she had to work with for her daughter, Jocelyn. She nursed her, she fed her, and as the years went by and the child grew, she did all those things that a mother would want to do. She even began to secretly homeschool Jocelyn when her captor was not there. She vowed to herself that someday an opportunity is going to come and that I will free my daughter and I will be freed myself. She determined she would make an escape for her daughter. Mother number three, Nancy Ruiz. On April 2nd, 2004, Nancy Ruiz gave her daughter, 14-year-old Georgina, she gave her $1.25 to take a short bus ride home after school. She always looked out for her daughter, taking extra care since that neighborhood girl, Amanda, was kidnapped a year ago. She said, take the bus home. So she gave her that $1.25. Georgina went to school, and she was always very friendly. She actually invited a friend over that day. But the friend, Arlene Castro, would have to, before she can go over and hang out, she'd have to call home to her mom. She asked if she could borrow 50 cents. And she gave her 50 cents of that $1.25. And Arlene Castro called home to her mom, who was a divorced mom, and just happened to be the daughter of the kidnapper. And the mom said, no, you can't come home. You can't go home with her today. And so now Georgina has 75 cents, not enough to take a bus ride home. And so she started walking. She never made it there. As her mom, Nancy, waited at the bus stop, only to discover she never took the bus. A couple hours passed, she called the school and then the police. Instead of tucking her daughter in bed that night, she frantically drove through the neighborhood, calling out her name, Gina, Gina. But she was not found. She tried everything in her power to find her daughter, but only found dead ends. Her prayers and tears to God every night for more than 9 years never left her without hope. When others said that Georgina was likely dead, Nancy determined, I will hold my daughter again. Mother number four, Lillian Rodriguez. At a home in Puerto Rico territory in 1960, a young mother was in labor, about to give birth. Her name was Lillian Rodriguez. For 9 months, she carried her unborn child to full term. And in a few moments, she'd be holding yet another son to add to her family. After the birth, she held him proudly in her arms, announcing his name would be Ariel, named after one of the seven archangels of her Catholic faith. Well, she did the best she could. She viewed Ariel as a blessing from God. And they always tried to do the best they could to raise them up in the poverty of Puerto Rico, but eventually moved to the U.S. and settled in Cleveland, Ohio for a new start. And there Ariel would grow up, go to school, meet a spouse, and bring forth grandkids to bless his mother, Lillian. She stuck by him even when his marriage ended due to his drinking and violence. She still hung in there with him. And as the years went by, Ariel's curious behaviors, like not having friends really ever come over or never leaving home for more than a day at a time, were simply dismissed as, that's my boy, Ariel. Lillian loved her son just the same, for he had some good qualities. He drove school bus because he loved children. He would take care of her car when it needed work. He even participated in local rallies for those families who turned up with missing children. He was a good son, she said, just like she raised him. Well, on May 6th, 2013, all these paths collided. A young lady named Amanda Berry escaped from a house with her daughter. Her captor had gone out for something and accidentally left the door unlocked. With the assistance of a passerby, she kicked through the bottom of the door and got out and pulled her daughter out, ran across the street, called the police. She told them that she had been held captive for more than a decade. In a few minutes, the police were there. A determined mother had not only freed her daughter and herself, but the other two kidnapped victims. Amanda and her daughter were finally free from control of this twisted pervert. The news spread through the neighborhood, and it was finally revealed that Lillian's son was the kidnapper. Ariel had committed one of the most horrific crimes in American history. She was in shock, thinking about what happened that could cause such a monster. The boy she once was proud of caused her to be surrounded by reporters wanting to know how your son became so twisted. This was the most shameful moment of her entire life. Her son, named for one of the archangels, more resembles a fallen angel named Lucifer. She said, quote, "I have a son who is sick, who had committed something serious." An overwrought Lillian Rodriguez told reporters outside her son's home, "I'm sorry for what my son has done." She was weeping, and when she heard about how he starved them, beat them, and raped them, and held them hostage in his home, she said, quote, "I ask for forgiveness from those mothers, that the girls will forgive me," she said in Spanish. She lowered her head in shame. Amanda Berry and the other girls were taken to the hospital, and though her mother, Luana Miller, had been dead for over 7 years, not knowing what happened to her, she was reunited with her sister and joyfully presented Jocelyn, her beautiful daughter. They wept and held each other for hours because the nightmare was finally over. Nancy Ruiz, who had not seen her daughter for more than 9 years, received a call from the police that she had been found. She rushed to the hospital with the family and was led to the room, summarizing an ABC interview. Quote, "We just grabbed each other and held on. There were no words, just hugging and kissing and crying." Ruiz said, "The ongoing whirlwind of emotions comes just in time for Mother Day Sunday," which Ruiz says has been every day since Chyna was rescued. "I am so blessed and so thankful. I always felt she would walk through that front door and I would hold her again." I think we all agree with Mrs. Ruiz. Enjoy your Mother's Day gift from God. Enjoy her and don't ever let go, just like a mother should do. Four mothers. We just covered four mothers joined together by a common tragedy. One mother died, not united with her child and broken in grief. Another fought with all her might to save her own child. Another was united with her daughter in the end. And the last mother, incredibly shamed of her own son. What can we learn from this? From what we've covered of the events that unfolded in the last decade, and particularly in the last week, should disturb you. But I want you to see four biblical points of application that I think might make your day more enjoyable. I would like to summarize four biblical points from the Holy Scriptures in respect upon what we've covered. Number one, God's creative design for mothers is awesome. God's creative design for mothers is awesome, incredibly awesome. In Genesis chapter 2, 18 through 22, the Lord God said, "It's not good for a man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man for what he should call them. Whatever the man called the living creature, that was its name. And gave names to all the cattle, the birds of the sky, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord fashioned into a woman, the rib which he had taken from the man, and brought her to the man. I do not know if you've thought about this or not, but every living creature on earth came out of the dust of the ground, except one, the woman. It was Eve that God fashioned from a different source. She did not come from the dust of the earth, but from the rib of the man. And her name, meaning mother of all living, became just that. You know, God did not design human beings like alligators to go lay eggs in the sand and bury them and pretty much forget their young or eat them later. That's not how he designed human beings. You see, from conception to birth, something amazing bonding takes place between a mother and a baby. From day one, when the egg is fertilized, the hormones of the woman begin to shift. They literally go into what's called the motherly mode. By week 7, the mother can begin to feel the fluttering baby as he begins to kick and to swim in the womb. By month 2, the baby can hear the mother's voice. And by month 5, that baby recognizes the mother's voice, unique from all other voices. In months 5 and 6, the mother can feel regular movements in the womb, including hiccups. By months 7 through 9, the baby can now relate to the moods of the mother and begins to mimic her sleep patterns, which will come in handy later. By the time the baby is born, he shares many of the moods, the senses, and emotions of the mother. The bonding pattern continues through nursing, being held close to the mother's face, memorizing her image in his mind. The first clear images of his eyes as they begin to clear. She sees his smile, he sees hers. Together they adore each other. The bond between a mother and child is so strong because that's how God designed it. And I know there's freak mutations of it. Sometimes maybe a mother isn't the mother she should be. But overall, you can see the design of the bond between a mother and a child just on how God created it. There is to be a close bond and an early bond. Mothers of every generation, from Eve to the mothers of today, were designed by God to be connected to their children. Number 2, a mother's life is filled with sacrifice. A mother's life is filled with sacrifice. From carrying the child in her body through morning sickness, body changes, waking up all night, all the way to the pain of the delivery, mom makes huge sacrifices. After seeing my kids born, I thank God I am not a woman. I don't want anything to do with that. Unlike many of the mammals of the animal kingdom that are birthed and soon brought forth in maturity, mothers of humans will care for their young for at least a couple of decades, and they never stop caring for their young for the rest of their lives. From nursing, changing diapers, reading books, taking them to church, tucking them in at night, there is a lot to do. And in Proverbs 31, many of those responsibilities are listed in the virtuous woman. And when these are done, quote, "Then her children rise up and bless her." Verse 28. A woman's, a mother's life is filled with sacrifices. And you can see that through those four women we talked about. You also have a duty to honor your mother. You have a duty to honor your mother. In Proverbs 10:1, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is grief to his mother. Proverbs 17:25, a foolish son is grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. Ephesians 6:2 brings up the Old Testament principle into the New Testament, making it both testaments, that you must honor your mother and your father. And though it says both, today I want to focus on the second. We have an obligation from God to honor our parents. And today, you need to be brought into remembrance for your mother. For the most part, we have good mothers. They're not perfect, but they generally love you more than anyone else does on earth. So much so that we have the saying, a face that only mom could love. If you laughed at that, and you've been, somebody said that to you, then that was not a positive thing. Don't ever forget to honor her. And number four, someday your mother will be gone. Many of you have lost your mothers, and it's tough. In Genesis 24, verse 67, Isaac brought Rebekah into his mother's tent. And he took Rebekah, she became his wife, and he loved her. And it says, thus Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. The primary thrust of the text is the beginning of a new family, but you must not forget, he was suffering when his mom, Sarah, died. Every mother from Eve until today and off into the future, someday your mother's going to be gone. She will die. And those of you who've lost your mothers need to remind those who still have their mothers, she's not going to be here someday. And all those things you wish you would have done and would have said, you'll never have an opportunity to make right again. Take the time. Start today. We look at this holiday in our nation, a day to honor mothers. You need to look at it. You need to look at those other four mothers. You need to look at the biblical principles and live a life that brings honor to your mother by recognizing someday she will not be here. Four women last week were bonded by a common catastrophe. Four different lessons in one tragic story. I was trying to write a Mother's Day sermon, and I could not stop thinking about those four mothers. And I hope this helps you think about your own mother. If you'd like to respond to the invitation to become a Christian, to become a better Christian, or if you're already a Christian and would like to be part of this church family and want to let us know, do so while we stand in sight.